Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. And as always, I'm just delighted to be here, touching you with some information. Hopefully you touch us, we share. And I talk usually about things that come up in the work that I do. And for some of you who know my work, a lot of it is found at my website at 2012 Countdown. Now, I have a question for you. How many of you out there, when you hear the telephone ring, you know who it is? You might call it a hunch, a knowingness, but before the person actually picks up the phone, as soon as it rings, you, like others, might know who it is. And you know, I ask this question to a lot of people, and the answer I get many times is, I usually know who it is. We call it intuition, a hunch, but I have a question for you. How many times were you wrong? True, you're right a lot of times, and true, you're wrong. And so it's one of the things that I want to talk about tonight, intuition. Is it something that's accurate for you most of the time? Do you trust it? Or are there times when you doubt it because it doesn't add up? I think this is a very important question. I really do, because if the information that you're getting from your intuition is accurate, it can really mean a lot. But if the information that you're getting is wrong, it can really cause a lot of confusion, a lot of questions. And so how accurate is your intuition? And that's what one of the things that I want to talk about tonight. Before we really get down to the answers, I want to talk a little bit about the brain. We know that the brain is divided in four quadrants, but I really want to talk about the right and the left side of the brain, because it is the right side of the brain that you might say your soul is speaking to you. Your spiritual abilities come into play through the right side of the brain. This is where the hunches are, that information that you just know is right. Now, the other side of the brain, the left side of the brain, is the side that questions, that analyzes, that judges, that wants to find where that information fits in. So you have two sides of the brain, one coming forth with the spiritual information, with your abilities, but the left side of the brain questions. Now, the left side of the brain does not understand spiritual promptings, does not understand what spirit is telling you. And so when it goes to question and you question, you're in the left side of the brain and you have completely lost touch with your intuition. It's a very subtle thing. But when you have an intuitive urge, information that you just know is accurate, you have this sense that it's accurate. You have to stay with that. You have to stay with the first answer that comes, because if you question, like, oh, is that really true? Did I hear that? Is something wrong with that? Is it accurate? You're in the left side of the brain and you have completely disconnected from the spiritual messages. This actually is what trust is from the standpoint of your intuition. So it's very important, if you want correct answers, you have to trust. You have to stay in the right side of the brain. And when I work with people at the Metatron soul healing sessions and we teach this, it's very fascinating because I catch people when they're in the midst of bringing forth answers. I catch them drifting off to the other side of the brain. And it gets very frustrating to people. And people get confused and they say, oh, it doesn't work. And it's usually because they're in the left side of the brain. So I wanted to put that out first so you understand what we're talking about. Now, I believe that before the fall in Atlantis, that the right and the left hemisphere were, you might say, fused, connected with one another. Spiritual information was coming in, and the judgment and the analysis could come forth at the same time. And it was a period of time where this was very dangerous because those of the dark could use this information and integrate it in a way that was harmful to other people. And I believe that is why there is this division in the brain. I also believe that the two sides of the brain are starting to become integrated. I believe that there are threads that are being laid over the corpus callosum, that is what some people call the third eye, that threads are joining these two sides, so that one of the gifts that humanity is ultimately moving towards is, again, being able to receive spiritual information and be able to act upon it immediately. Well, why is this important? It's really important to hone in this ability because there is so much that you can learn from this knowledge. This, I believe, is the basis of true meditation. And when I work with people, there are many who have problems with meditation. They're not getting the information that they really expect, that they really want to get, because there are several kinds of meditation that I hear people talk about. First of all, emptying the mind. Well, I don't know about you, but for myself and others that I know, it's extremely difficult to empty the mind. It's extremely difficult not to think about anything. And if you're meditating with the thought of emptying the mind, and then this information is going to come to you, you're going to have a difficult time, in my humble opinion, because, first of all, it is extremely difficult to empty the mind and not think of anything. Then there is another kind of meditation that I believe is guided meditation. And someone will speak of something very beautiful that brings up a beautiful walk along the beach using your imagination. And it is wonderful for relaxation. But again, it's not a situation where you're receiving information. We're like a radio tower that can send messages and receive messages. And there is a time when we become questioning, where we are very actively sending out a question, working with our thought, and then there is another moment when we are quiet, when that thought is answered. And I'd like to talk a little bit about thought. Edgar Cayce said that thoughts are things, and I do believe that from this point of view. We have a consciousness. Our thoughts have a consciousness. Everything in the world really has a consciousness, a plant, an animal, grass, human body. We can connect with any consciousness under the sky, so to speak. We can ask it questions and we can receive answers if we know how to do it. Years ago, well, perhaps in the time when druids were well known, there was the green man of the forest. People stood under the oaks They thought there was great wisdom there, and they received the information from the experience of the oaks. I do believe that there were people who practiced this way. I know it sounds strange, but it is consciousness of one creation reaching the consciousness of the other. And when we think of thought, it is like a doorway opening to a room. And the more we think about it and we connect with that consciousness, we are then able to walk in that room and see the interior of what is in that room. And I do believe that this is extremely important. And I work with this with a lot of people, and it is just fascinating, the information that you can get. We all know, for instance, that the mind and the body and the soul are all connected. But do we stop and think that being connected, that we can ask the body questions and receive answers? I marvel sometimes when I work with people and we show them how to make a connection with the consciousness of their body. And they ask questions like, what foods would you like for me to increase eating? And they get an answer through their intuition. What foods would you like for me to decrease eating? The same answers come forth. The body tells them. Am I getting enough water? Answers will be yes, no. How much should I drink? What does the body require? And something that I love is when people start talking to the body about their weight. I consider my ideal weight thus and such. What do you think my ideal weight is for bone structure, for body structure? I'd like to lose X number of pounds. And you ask the body that, and it tells you how to do it. I just love that. What you have to eat, what not to eat, how much exercise do I need, what kind of exercise do I need, and following along, if I want to lose 30 pounds, for instance, doing the things that my body is suggesting to me, how long will it take to lose that 30 pounds, and the body tells you. It is so fascinating. It is the consciousness of the egoic mind connecting with the consciousness of the physical body. So, give me a call. Tell me what you think about this subject. You can call me here at 888-815-9756. Have you worked with this? Have you had luck? How clear is your intuition? When it speaks to you, do you believe it? And if you believe it or don't believe it, does the information come true or does it not come true? Do you trust your intuition? Do you not? I think these are all very important questions because if you use a journal and you lay out your questions and then connect with the body and ask the questions and record the answers and follow them for a period of time, it is just remarkable. Now, let's talk a little bit about how you would do it. It is thinking of the body, becoming attuned to it. In essence, walking with the way the body works. A thought, I use either the heart as it beats or the breath as you breathe. And let's just take one, perhaps the breath. And so we inhale, we exhale as we should, but during that period of time, think about the breath. Just connect with it. Feel it. Feel it come in through the nose. Feel the breath. And intuit. Imagine it going through the lungs. What you don't need is exhaled. What you do need, the body takes. You know that through the lungs, the oxygen finds its way to the bloodstream. The heart pumps the blood. Just think about it. Just trace, for instance, the way that oxygen follows the bloodstream. The heart's pumping it, and it is moving. In the very beginning, I teach people how to do this, but after a while, all that you're going to have to do, after you have trust in it and faith in what you're doing, all you got to do is I call forth the body, and you have this conversation, and intuitively you're connected and you get the answers. But for now, it is an exercise that we work with in the very beginning. It's your imagination. You attune to the body. Just imagine, for instance, the oxygen being pumped by the blood going down the arm, invigorating everything that it passes, bringing it life, bringing it the strength that it needs from the oxygen. Imagine the oxygen going down into your hands. You know what the bones look like in the hand. Just imagine that as you sense or intuit or mentally follow the way the blood would be pumped through the hand. And I will tell you, if you do this enough, you will actually see into the body. And maybe some of you right now are seeing into the body and seeing the blue, where the veins are carrying away what needs to be carried off from the body, or the red, where the oxygen is moving down into the body. See the digits. See the fingertips. See the lymph system. See the nerves as they move around next to the bones. See the blood being pumped up into where the organs are. Imagine the liver processing the blood, eliminating what is not needed, cleaning the blood. So you follow this sense for a while, and very soon you feel the dignity of the body. You feel the energy of it. You feel the body's desire to support you. And there is a beauty and a magnificence of the body, and actually the body loves for you to pay attention to it in this way, that you not mindlessly use it every day without giving it regard. You feel this closeness. Go a step further. We know that there's an energy field around the body, whatever you call it. The etheric body. The subtle body. And if you have seen Curly in photography, for instance, you might have seen the blues. You might have seen colors change. And there's three sections. The outer layer, the spiritual body, the mental body, and then the emotional body, which is right next to the physical body. Just sense as if you are stepping into the emotional body. There's a part of you that just moves into the emotional body. And you may feel this, you may not, in the very beginning. It's very subtle. For those of you who trust your intuition, you know this right away. I have people tell me the colors that they see, or I have some people say that emotional body is like a silvery, shining area, and it feels good. It feels loving. You are right next to the body, and it is there where you ask your question. And if you listen with the right side of the brain, the first answer that comes to you, it is the body speaking to you through intuition. And it is so remarkable, the answers that you get. So many times the bodies are saying the same things to people. When we talk about what it needs by way of eating, it always comes up with greens. We need greens. And I hear this constantly. The bodies are speaking to people. Greens. Things like we need raw vegetables, or we need more fruits, more vegetables. And I had a very interesting situation where the woman was repeating that the body was saying to her it wanted more vegetables. But when we then say, well, what should you reduce consumption of? Excuse me. The body reported cucumbers. And we know that cucumbers is a vegetable. And when we ask the body this question, you said you need vegetables, but yet you want her to reduce in cucumbers. What's the answer? Well, the answer was she was eating so many cucumbers that it was throwing the body out of balance. And there was something in the cucumbers that was causing acid in her system. Each person is different, and the body will tell you exactly your differences. Give us a call. Tell me if you've had experience with this. Call me with your questions, 888-815-9756. Now, the body has so much more to tell you other than the diet, what to eat, what not to eat, how much exercise, how much water, how much weight to lose, how much weight to gain. You know, sometimes when you meet people and you have a sense in the pit of your stomach, oh, don't need to get involved with them, or I really like them, see more of them. That's your intuition speaking to you. That is your body. So the body is very much aware of the people in your life, the circumstances in your life. I have heard people talk about, oh, I would like to have a better relationship with my husband. What do I need to do? And there's the body there telling them. It is so fascinating. The body talks about reincarnation. This is a person from a past life. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to do. Just today, I had a woman say, you know something that I would really like to do? I would like to be a conductor. Every time I hear this beautiful music, I am so carried away with it. And, of course, we went to the body and we asked the body, have I ever been a conductor? And the answer was a resounding yes. Can I come back in another lifetime and be a conductor? Because she had a mission for healing on this particular life. And that's the other thing about talking to the body, because the body comes in with the divine blueprint. And the divine blueprint sits right outside of that energy field that we talk about in Kirlian photography being the subtle bodies. And it is really fascinating when you see the divine blueprint, how it is wired to the physical body. And that is quite fascinating to see that. You see, you do start to see these things when you work with it. I can tell you how I questioned when I first started this. I thought I would never learn how to do it. And then once you start trusting what your body is saying to you, what your intuition is saying to you, it opens up doors. You get connected in ways that you never dreamed of before, because the body can start telling you through its connection with everyday living how to make your relationship stronger with other people. I worked with a woman who had a managerial position at work, and it would upset her very much when she had employees come in that were disgruntled. She didn't know how to work with them. She became emotionally involved, and she really needed some help, and the body explained to her just how to work with these people, how to calm herself, what the problem was, how to relate to people. It told her she wanted a better relationship with her husband, and it told her how her husband was feeling on certain issues when she spoke to him and how to change that. So the body can tell you about the surroundings around you because it experiences it. You're really speaking to its consciousness. And it also can speak of past lifetimes. And the body is speaking of past lifetimes simply because it is using the divine blueprint, information that comes from the divine blueprint. Give me a call with your questions, 888-815-9756. Believe it or not, we're halfway through the show. Don't wait until the very end and then decide to call and you can't get on. That happens sometimes, you know. So, we have given you some sort of an idea as the information that you can get by connecting thought, your consciousness, with the consciousness of the physical body. Now, let's just take a moment and contemplate this for those individuals who don't believe that this can be done. I want to talk about the consciousness of the human body. The wisdom of the consciousness. We know that at conception, two cells come together to form a new human being. Two cells. And those cells start dividing. How do those cells know how to form all of the different kinds of cells that are in the body? The veins, the nerves, the bones. They're all different kinds of cells. I mean, usually we don't have a foot come to be produced where a head should be produced. The wisdom of the body just knows how to go about this. Two cells coming together, the division of it, and the beauty of it, and the majesty, and it has control because it is working with its consciousness. And that is why I say we can connect with the consciousness, not our thinking mind as we analyze. That's coming from the left side of the brain. That's the judgment side, the analytical side. And that is not the side that connects with the wisdom and the majesty of the body. It is that right side of the brain, very subtle. It is what you need to practice with. And you can practice with the telephone. The telephone rings. Who's there? How many times are you right? And when you got a right answer, were you in the right side of your brain? When you got a wrong answer, did you start questioning that? We have a phone call, and your name, please?
T, my initial T.
Did you say T?
Yes.
Hi, T.
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you for accepting my call.
Well, I'm glad to do that. And what's your question?
My question is, how do you differentiate or discern your intuition from your intellect? Like I get confused with that. Like if it's my mind saying something that, or my gut's telling me something that, that's what I want to know, or how to exercise it where I
it's an excellent, definitely. It's an excellent question, T, and it is the heart of the matter. It is the heart of the matter that we are really talking about, staying in the right side of the brain, because when you hear that intuitive prompting, when you hear that answer, it can be coming from the right side of the brain or it can be coming from the left side of the brain, and they both sound the same. That's why it's very confusing to people. So, can you think of a time when you wanted to know an answer and you got confused about it? What kind of information were you asking? Can you remember? Can you think of an incident? Maybe you can.
Yeah, not at the second, but there have been a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I don't, and sometimes when I haven't, something just comes to me and I don't think about it at all, it happens or it's, yeah, there's the answer there, so.
Well, what you're saying is true because intuition can come to us without consciously working for an answer. And it is because we have a transfer of thoughts between the right side and the left side. It goes over what some people call the corpus callosum or the third eye. So there is intermittent activity where we didn't prompt it. Something in our life prompted it. And so that's very clear because intuition comes to us from the right side of the brain and it jumped over to the left side of the brain and we recognized it through our judgment side of the brain. And you're right. Mm-hmm. It's real easy to figure that one out because you pick up the intuition there. But what I'm talking about is something that you are asking for, that you are demanding.
Right.
You're sitting down and you want the answer. And
it
is the first answer that comes to your mind. That's why I asked if you could think of an incident or what you were working on that either worked or it didn't work. And so I like to use that explanation of the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
If the telephone rings and you get into the habit of saying, this is a way to help train yourself so you get the difference between staying in the right side of the brain or in the left side of the brain, when the phone rings, ask who it is. And if it is a friend, that it comes, that the picture comes to the mind or the answer comes to the mind, oh, that's so-and-so. Well, stick with that first answer and then pick up the phone and see if it's that person. But many times we'll get a response and the person will think, oh, is that my mind working with me? Because I don't think it's that easy. And then they get confused. Oh, maybe it's not so-and-so. Maybe it's somebody else. Now, when you do that, it's very subtle. Can you see where you've jumped from the right side of the brain to the left side?
Yeah.
And so I use that with the telephone because it's a good way to train yourself because it is trust. It is trusting in the ability that makes it stronger. Trust goes with intuition.
Okay.
And if you get an answer and you trust it and you go with it, the first time that you hear it, it gets stronger. At first, that sound is it's not very loud. And then when you start analyzing it, you're completely confused. So work with the telephone. Make a little game of it. You could put a little pad of paper next to the telephone and put down there, you know, you had a call, you thought it was thus and such, write down the name right away and see if it's accurate. Then you might get another telephone call and Maybe it's somebody you haven't heard from for a while. And then you might say, why is she calling me? You see, you're questioning it. You might get a wrong answer. So you've got a piece of paper there that helps you to analyze these sorts of things. When was I right? When was I wrong? And when I was right, was it the first answer? When I was wrong, did I question it? You'll start to see a pattern coming. Because you see, what all of this revolves around is our belief system. That's what's underpinning this. If a person does not believe that this is possible, they're going to start questioning it. We are bound by our belief systems. It's like, T, what is reality in life? Don't we wonder sometimes what's real and what's not real? What do we believe in? What do we do? And what we believe in is what the body accepts. So if we believe that we can be intuitive, that we can receive information beyond our thinking, reasoning mind, we will. So
also, I fly a lot, and sometimes I, after 9/11, I've had a fear of flying, and I never ever did before. So could my fear also dilute my or override my intuition, like, okay, it's okay to get on this flight, or no, you know,
well,
or am I picking up on everyone else's fear, and I'm not, I get confused too, like,
That's true, but I'll give you another thought about that, T. First of all, there's a couple things going on here. Fear does interfere with the answers that you get from your intuition, because you really need to be relaxed when you work with this. And if you're anxious or fearful, it does interfere with that. Now, there's something else that could be going on here, and that is clearing a past life issue.
Okay.
Now, you might not be thinking about this, but you see, we have, well, I don't know, do you believe that there's a possibility of having past lifetimes?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure, definitely.
Well, if you think about past lifetimes, I mean, I remember a lot of my past lifetimes, and I firmly believe that we have past lifetimes, and I feel like I've had situations where I have proven to myself that I have remembered a past lifetime. But be that as it may, we've had a lot of past lifetimes, and we've had, if you think about some of the dangers in the world, the control of the dark, there is a tremendous amount of fear surrounding a lot of our lifetimes, especially if we died a violent death or died prematurely. There is a lot of fear. Well, that energy, it's stuck energy, that's all it is. It's not that the deed, you can change the deed, because the deed has happened, but what you do, or what needs to be done, is to release that stuck energy. Well, what happens is, things happen in our current life. Now, something happened, triggered in your mind, that you have a fear for flying. What the body is telling you by this is, you have a fear of flying now, it has triggered something to let you know that you have fear from the past that needs to be released. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
So the emotions that come up in the current lifetime, the lifetime that you're living as T, are reminders that you have these emotions that you need to clear from the past. Now, this might sound strange, but underneath of disease is stuck emotions from past lifetimes. I believe that firmly. I've worked with this. And something that comes up, for instance, is cancer is very much connected to fear. And when we take people back to a past lifetime who have had cancer, we see that there have been many lifetimes where there is a pattern of fear. And fear, if it's not cleared, it shows up in the present body as a disease. So what you can do is when you go to bed at night or sometime when you're relaxed, it's really important to be relaxed, just scan your body, either starting at the top or starting at the feet. Just think of it. You might find a place where you feel this fear. Many times it will be around the heart. And many times it will be on the right side of the heart. So when you are feeling fear of flying, just quietly go within and see if you can feel that sense of fear in your body. If you can find that place. Because this is very interesting, T. And I would suspect that you could find a place in the body where you feel the fear. It's the same kind of fear that you felt about flying. And you can do a couple things. You may not remember the past lifetime. It's not necessary. We have energies that's coming to Earth right now that you don't have to remember these details, but just intend that you are clearing this fear. You might even get to the point where you get images from things in a past lifetime. I've done this plenty of times. And you intend to change that ending of that life so that it's something happy, and you heal that fear, you release the fear, and more than likely you will find a response in the present life where you can eliminate that fear of flying. It's a trigger. It is your soul trying to remind you that you've got all this stuck energy that needs to be cleared. And I know that it might not make sense to you right now, T, but work with it. Call me back after you've worked with it and let me know the success that you might have had.
Okay, well, thank you so much. It's been very helpful.
It is so fascinating, isn't it?
Oh, it's extremely fascinating.
Yeah, I work with this every day with people, and I see it time and time again, how our fears from past lifetimes are triggered by something that happens in the current lifetime.
Yeah, and I've been flying for many, many years, and nothing, no, it didn't bother me at all until 9/11, and then I like you said, maybe it triggered something.
Do you ever have a fear of death?
Yeah, kind of.
Does 9/11 bring forth that anxiety or fear of death?
Yeah, like I'd say premature. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, premature because I have so much to do, and I, yeah, in a way,
see,
you know,
intuitively,
yeah.
I could pick that up from you because I've worked with people, and I trust this, and I have a sense about it, and. Do you consider yourself a light worker?
To a certain degree, I guess, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, think about this. Like sometime when you're quiet and you're relaxed, think about, is there the possibility that in some lifetime, years and years ago, that you came on a mission and you died prematurely, and you weren't able to finish that mission? When I say that to you, how does that resound to you? How do you feel when I say that? Does that sound possible?
Yes.
Well,
so, yeah.
you just explore that. Think about it. Intend to heal it. Intend to release it.
Okay.
Intend to clear all of that with light. See yourself as a light being. See it healed. See it cleared.
Okay.
And it is amazing what these things do, because what's behind fear usually is a past lifetime that has been ended prematurely.
Yeah.
And you can heal it.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it. You can heal it. And it
okay.
is just that easy. We are a planet of intent here. And using intentions is extremely powerful. We're not a planet where it's results-oriented. But what did that person intend when they did that? That's how we're judged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So thank you, T. I'm glad to have
so
questions.
Thank you. It's such a it's been very helpful, very beneficial. So I'm going to implement what you've given me and clear this energy. Okay.
Let me know how it works out for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good
day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, we only have about 10 minutes. If you have a question, now's the time. T called, and her questions brought us some very interesting information that we could discuss. And your questions are just as insightful, just as interesting. Don't be shy. The number here is 888-815-9756. And when I work with people and we discuss the current emotions, and people use their intuition about relationships that they have with the family. You see, family relationships are extremely important, because what I have found is many times those that we come and work with that we call family members are sometimes they've been very great friends in past lifetimes, and we need that. Then sometimes the family members are individuals that we have really struggled with in the past, and the time has come where the two of you have decided to come this time and heal the relationship. It's all about healing. And if people started to think about this, how so much of what we experience today is based upon past lifetimes, and they just think about this, they start to get images. And I find this extremely fascinating. Hello, we have another caller in your name.
Hi, my name is Jeanette. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi.
Interesting topic, isn't it?
Yes, I'm really into the whole reincarnation and past life regression type of topic.
So what question do you have?
I guess I don't have a specific question, but I do want to know if any spirits or angels from the other side would like to tell me something.
Well, usually it works this way. We have free will, and free will is considered very important. And we don't usually have people intrude on our free will. We, first of all, have to give permission. And I think a good place to start is with your guardian angel. Work on a relationship with your guardian angel, because I'll tell you something that's interesting that a lot of people don't realize. Our guardian angel has been with us through all of our incarnations. Our guardian angel is with us when we cross over to the other side. So our guardian angel was given to us when our soul was created, and so they really know us. And I would look first to your guardian angel. Let's take a moment, Jeanette.
Okay.
Just take a moment and think about your guardian angel. Think about how your guardian angel has protected you over many lifetimes. You might start to feel the love. Do you feel a sense of the love energy coming through when you think about the guardian angel?
Yes.
Trust that. Now, give your guardian angel permission to work with your high self and your egoic self. That means you, Jeanette. So give them permission for your guardian angel to work with you, your high self to work with you, and you might say you're forming a cooperation. The guardian angel doesn't intrude on you. You have to invite it. and invite your guardian angel every day. Now, see, you feel that love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not asking you to say this out loud, but is there a particular question, maybe something that you're working with right now that you want some insight with, that you want some help? Is there something that's currently going on in your life that maybe you would like help?
Well, I guess...
You don't have to say it out loud.
Okay.
Just yes or no. Is there something?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, I want you to think about your guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
Feel yourself connected to your guardian angel. And ask your guardian angel if they can help you resolve that. Is this a situation that has to be resolved?
Yes.
Ask your guardian angel if they can help you resolve this. And you'll get a yes or a no answer. What's the first answer that comes to mind?
Yes.
Trust that. Your guardian angel is speaking to you, and your guardian angel is telling you that it will help you. Now, we can't go through all these steps on the air because we only have a couple minutes left. But what I would like for you to do is, like, take this question that you need an answer for, write it down on a piece of paper, and think of all of the possible solutions. You probably know some of the solutions already, don't you? The possibilities?
Yes.
Okay, you write them all down. You sit there in a meditative state, relaxed. Feel the love of your guardian angel. Fill your heart. Feel that connection. You always work in love. And then you call in your guardian angel, ask your guardian angel to help you resolve that situation, and discuss what the possibilities are, and ask your guardian angel for advice. And call me back next week. Let me know how this goes, because we work with our guardian angel first, and then we work with people on the other side. And I will tell you, we'll discuss how you connect to the masters on the other side. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
So
that one, but I'm not sure who my guardian angel is.
You don't have to know. You see,
uh-huh.
Guardian angels aren't tuned in to names like we are, because where the guardian angel came from, they didn't have names like Jeanette. They had sounds. Their language is more sound-based. So you wouldn't have a guardian angel that had a name like Jeanette. They would have a sound, and then it's interpreted into a name through the different dimensions, because sounds change through the different dimensions. It's not important.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is connect to the love. And when you connect to the love, you'll get images. In other words, if you want to see your guardian angel, you sit there, connect to the love, feel the love, feel the devotion, feel the loyalty, and ask your guardian angel to give you images of what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's amazing. You'll start to see them if you do this. We're right at the end of the hour, my dear. Call me next week. Let me know of your success, and we'll talk about it some more. Sound like fun?
Okay. Thanks. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
My blessings to you. And so, my friends, tune in next week, and we'll talk more. Until then, this is Carolyn Evers signing out for tonight. Bless you.